Thank you, Brother Morgan, and I thank you that are watching this morning for your attendance every Sunday. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the correspondence from you. There are those of you that have written to me, and I appreciate those letters. They tell me something about who you are and about how many people are listening and whatever, and I would like to urge you that haven't written to us to do so. I would appreciate hearing from you. This morning, I want to continue with you in the Bible study pertaining to the thought of, even though we're in the dispensation of the grace of God, there is grace that is shown in other dispensations. In other words, you don't have to be in the dispensation of the grace of God for God Almighty to be gracious, but it isn't always the same. It is one thing to live in the dispensation of grace. It is something else to have grace in another dispensation. Now, will you read with me in Ephesians chapter 1? Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 1? And I urge you to get a pencil and a piece of paper and write down these scripture references. Even though you've got your Bible there, will you please write down the scripture references and check them out? Now, why is all this important anyway? Someone would say, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And obviously, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Jesus Christ certainly does not deal with everybody the same in all ages. This is very clear. You cannot help but understand the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God Almighty dealt with people under the First Testament. Then the New Testament. They're obviously not the same. The same is true with the difference in law and grace. God Almighty gave the law at Mount Sinai. And yet the Bible is clear that in this age we're not justified by the law, but by grace. So they're not the same. So we realize then that Jesus Christ doesn't deal with everybody the same in all ages. And besides, he is the creator of heaven and earth, and he can change his mind if he desires to do so. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible said, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You must understand now that these people to whom Paul is writing are people that were not under the law. These people were not in the covenants of promise. Look at their character. Look at what he says about them in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 1, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That isn't all. Notice in chapter 2, verse 11, Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. In other words, these people to whom he's writing now, in time past, that is before the cross, time passed back there somewhere. They were Gentiles in the flesh. Notice in verse 12, that at that time, time passed, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now read that again with me, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Before I go on now, I want to put on the board up here, and I'll say that here is the first coming of Jesus Christ. This represents his baptism, and this is crucifixion. So in here would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, out here would be the book of Acts. I'll say the book of Acts would end at that point right there. Now, Paul said that at that time passed, you were Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, And in chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Why? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, these people at Ephesus, out here, to whom Paul is writing, those people in time past were without Christ. Why? Because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, isn't that what it says? Look at it again. Verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But wait a minute. Hold the phone. How could they have had any hope? The only way that you, I, or anyone else can have hope is by the message of grace being preached unto us. Now think with me a moment. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's great. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, he says in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You couldn't have hope unless the message of hope were preached unto you. There would be no possible way that you could say whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved unless that message had been preached unto you. Unless the message of grace were preached unto you, you would be without hope. How do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Because the message of the gospel has been preached unto you. That's how you know that. God sends the preacher. The preacher preached the good news. That is, that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. These people to whom Paul is writing, in time past, from where he's writing, they had no hope. Why? They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Now, hold on there and turn, please, to Matthew. And look in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ has selected the apostles. Notice in verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then he names the apostles. Now in verse 5, please read with me. Matthew 10 verse 5 says, "And these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, I know then, not hope so, maybe so, guess so, but I know that these Ephesians that Paul writes that letter to, during the period of time of Matthew chapter 10, were without hope. Why were they without hope? Nobody was going to preach the message unto them. That's why they were without hope. Jesus said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles." I bet you there's somebody right now that you're spinning this around in your mind, and you're saying, "I can't understand that. Why would he do a thing like that?" Well, what difference does it make why he did it? The point is that he did it. The point is that he's the creator of heaven and earth. The point is that all wisdom is manifest in him. The point is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God never told you you need to understand the passage. You need to believe the passage. You're going to have to give an account of what you believe, not what you understood. What is there that is clear about this? That which is clear is that these Ephesians that Paul writes to had no hope in the time covered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Jesus said to the apostles, "Don't you go unto them." That's why. He said, "Don't you go unto the Gentiles." Matthew 15:22 says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word." Now, why did he not answer her? Well, it's clear. He's told the apostles, "Don't you go to the Gentiles. Go only the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So this woman is a Gentile. She's not worthy that she should receive this message at all. So what happens? He answers her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away. She crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In spite of that fact, people try to make out that Jesus Christ went to the whole world, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They try to make it appear as if Jesus was preaching the gospel, the grace of God, to all the world in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No such thing. The message that is preached back there is the message of the gospel of the kingdom, not the message of the gospel of grace of God. But he said, don't go to the Gentiles. He said, "I'm not sent but of the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Verse 25, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. The children are Israel, the bread is the gospel of the kingdom, and the dogs are the Gentiles. He said, It's not right to take that which is dedicated to the children and put it to the dogs down there." Please observe that Jesus Christ said, "I preach the things that the Father sent me to preach." Jesus is sent forth from God. And he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Why in this world can't you get a hold of that? In other words, God had a nation that he selected out of Egypt back there. That nation is Israel. He redeemed them back there by the blood of the Lamb. He brought them out to bring them into the promised land. They're his people. They're his chosen people. And so Almighty God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, unto his people to preach unto them. And so his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, said unto a Gentile, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But there is somebody somewhere right now is determined that you're going to force it into your Bible that God had to have sent Jesus Christ to you at that time. And you're going to try to force it on some people. But that won't work. So why was Israel, why was the Ephesians without hope? Because there was no preacher sent unto them. That's why. Well, let's try a little further on. Turn, please, to the book of Acts. And look in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, look at this man here. In Acts chapter 10, notice in verse 28, Peter, the one that many of you people follow today, this man goes to a Gentile's house, didn't want to go, is finally persuaded to go, gets there, and look what he said. Verse 28, "And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation." Now, wait a minute. Time out. Just a moment now. Peter, are you sure of that? It's an unlawful thing for a man that's Jew to come into another nation? That's right. But Peter, didn't the Lord say, go and teach all nations? Yes, he said that. Peter, didn't the Lord say in Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature? Yes, he said that. Well, what's the matter with you, Peter? Are you out of your mind? The Lord said to go to all the nations. The Lord said repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in all the nations. He said go to every creature. Peter, why in this world are you at this time saying it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or coming to one of another nation? Look at the rest of the verse. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. God just then showed him. He didn't show him by the Great Commission of Matthew 28, Mark 16, or Luke 24. Peter didn't find that out then. What did Peter find out? Peter found out that he's to go to all nations. He found out that he's to preach the kingdom among all nations. He's to preach it to every creature. But he's to do it in this manner. Go first to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria, and then to the uttermost part. The children must first be fed before the Gentiles can have any of the bread. So when he gets to Cornelius, He's been a very perplexed individual. So notice what he told Cornelius in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Didn't know that before. Verse 35, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Aren't you glad that that is not the requirement of salvation today? Aren't you glad that God Almighty never sent a message to you that if you would fear God and work righteousness, he'd save you? Aren't you glad that righteousness is by grace through faith? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ died for your sins, which Peter didn't know there? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ hung on Calvary and that your sins were transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ and that God made him to be sin for you and poured out his wrath on your sins at Calvary? Aren't you glad that salvation is free to all men today? Aren't you glad that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men? Aren't you glad that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them? Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that God didn't send Peter unto you, for Peter wouldn't have wanted to come into your house anyway? Aren't you glad that Peter doesn't pastor your church? Why, if Peter was the pastor of your church, he would withdraw himself from you. He would think that he was better than you. Say, oh, hold on now, Brother Moore. That wouldn't be true at all. All? Well, even after this episode in Acts chapter 10, Peter later on goes to where Paul is, sits down and eats with the Gentiles. But when he heard that there were certain coming from James, he withdrew himself, separated himself from the Gentiles, and caused a split in that assembly. Aren't you glad that Peter is not your pastor? Well, then why do you try to follow Peter in the Bible? Why do you try to imitate him? In fact, there are many that do imitate him now to the extent of the divisions and everything, the denominational system. They withdraw themselves from all of those that have been redeemed by the grace of God by saying, I'm better than you. Come not near unto me. And to back off. Peter said, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. There ain't any possible way that the Ephesians could have made it if it had been left up to Peter to preach unto them. No way. Now, back to Ephesians again, please. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's writing to some people just like we are. He's writing to some people that have the same characteristics of we here in Pensacola, Florida, Mobile, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, Selma, Alabama, around the world. He's writing to people exactly like we are. We're people that weren't in the covenants of promise. We had no hope. We were without God in the world, without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and on. That's us. And he's writing to us. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see the reasoning behind this? Folks, they weren't under the law. They didn't have the teaching of the priest back here under the law. They didn't have the teaching of Jesus Christ during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have the teaching of the 12 over here in the book of Acts. They had nobody. They had nothing. Just like in the world today. But you know what? What's made it such a mess? What has fouled everything up so bad? Is that a bunch of money-loving individuals over here that call themselves preachers in this dispensation we're living in, because the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible said. They have taken this message over here, tried to imply that everybody in all ages has known this message, try to make it be in all dispensations and whatever, for money's sake. Say, oh, come on, they walk by faith. Are you sure about that? How can they walk by faith? Tell me something. you that are listening to my voice that have believed in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have called upon the name of the Lord and asked Him to save your soul. By faith, you believe that He died for your sins. By faith, you called upon Him for salvation. By grace, through faith, you're saved. Now, why would you call upon the Lord? You say, well, that's silly. I call upon the Lord because only the Lord could save me. Right. Then pray tell, why does a preacher who claims to be walking by faith call upon you to pay his bills? Why does he stand in front of a camera with tears rolling down his cheek and tell you that he owes $6.5 million, and unless you come across the money, he's going to have to go off the air? Why does he tell you that if he's walking by faith? If he really believes God, why does he ask God for the money? Why does he ask you for the money? Why does he put the pressure on you? Why does he flash on the screen somebody in South Africa somewhere, some little children with their little tummies sticking out there, underfed and everything, to try to touch your emotions to get you to send him money? Why do they do that? If that man is walking by faith, why doesn't he ask God for the money? Why doesn't he say, oh, God, you gave me this television program here. I'm doing this in your name and for your sake. And if you do not supply the need, I'll just have to go off the air because I'm not asking these people for money. I'm trusting the Lord. Why not do that? Something wrong, beloved. Something is wrong. You see, these people to whom Paul is writing, they don't know anything about the Mosaic Law. They haven't been taught the Mosaic Law. They don't know anything about the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They hadn't been taught that. What do they know? They know the gospel of Christ. What is that? That Jesus Christ died for their sins, and that He was buried and that He rose again. They know the gospel of the grace of God, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, including them. Who were these people? Why, they were idol-worshipping Gentiles. They were liquor-drinking, tobacco-smoking, tobacco-chewing, spitting, whatever, Gentiles. That's what they were. They were idolatrous, pork-eating, shrimp-eating, oyster-eating scoundrels. They were aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. They were enemies of the covenants. They were at enmity with Almighty God. That's the kind of people they were. The same kind that you meet every Sunday morning. The same kind that you meet every day. The same kind that are in the grocery stores and the malls and the whatever as they listen to their rock and roll music and drink their booze and sniff the coke and smoke the pot and all. They're the same kind of people. That's who they are. But what about them? They found out that even Jesus Christ had died for them. That Jesus Christ had died for such lowly as they. That Jesus Christ had died for such worms as they. For such scum as they. That the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto them, and that they too could be saved, and they too could have an inheritance among them that already had been called. How? By the gospel of Christ. By the grace of God. And so Paul is writing unto these people and saying, I'm praying for you that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Why would he tell them a thing like that? Because they don't know what their hope is. Their hope is not the same hope as those that were under the law. Their hope is not the same hope as those that are preached to in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Their hope is not the same as those in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts chapter 3, 19. Their hope is different. Peter couldn't tell them what their hope was. He didn't know it. You see, he knew the hope of Acts chapter 3. He knew the hope of Matthew chapter 24 and numerous passages. He knew the hope of Matthew 25, 31, and on and on. But he didn't know the hope of these people. He didn't know the hope that Paul preached. Don't you see what is happening? Don't you see that there are charlatans in the world today that are preaching the Bible for money, that are taking the hope that belongs to somebody else and fooling you into believing that's your hope? Why do they do that? Because they want you under their bondage. They want your money. They want to bleed you for everything they can get out of you. So you don't have much respect for these preachers. I have every respect. I have great respect for God-called men of God that preach the Word of God rightly divided. But I do not respect charlatans. I do not respect hypocrites who play a shell game with you and con you out of your money and con some little old lady on welfare out of her welfare check while that rascal flies around the world in a Learjet, wears $500 to $1,000 suits, fancy silk ties. No, I don't have respect for these people. Paul is writing to people just like us who were lost, undone, without hope in the world, but now have suddenly, we have hope. Why? Because we believe in Jesus as our Savior. We trust that He died for our sins at Calvary. We trust that He was buried and rose again for our justification. We believe in Him as our Savior. Therefore, there is a hope. What is that hope? That hope is that our vile bodies are going to be changed and made like unto His glorious body. That hope is that the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That hope is that Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Bless your soul, I've got hope. I'm looking forward to that rapture. I'm looking forward to my vile body being changed. And you can too if you'll trust Christ. How do you do that? Believe that He died for your sins at Calvary. Believe that He paid for your sins at Calvary. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I thank you for listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll continue with this next Sunday. Until then, good day.